laughter and having a sense of humor is really what's gotten me through a lot of the problems that we've had. So people know that I like these, and so they send me these bumper Snickers, which I call them. They're not organized. They should be organized better, but they're not. But I'm not an organized person, as you can tell. Someone sent me this card, and I just love it. It says, if you love something, set it free. If it returns, you haven't lost it. If it disappears and never comes back, then it wasn't truly yours to begin with. And if it just sits there watching television, unaware that it's been set free, you probably already married it. And you know how you can tell who's the real head of the house is the one who's hanging onto the remote control. You know? So if we can get you to laugh and chuckle a lot today, you'll go out of here feeling lifted. I'm not a housewife. I'm a domestic goddess. Now, my husband says that Barb cooks for fun, but for food we go out, you know. And if he wants to hide anything from me, he puts it in the oven because he knows I'll never find it there. See, you're getting your exercise early in the morning. Money isn't everything, but it sure keeps the kids in touch. Enjoy life. This is not a dress rehearsal. Now that we have automatic teller machines, we no longer have to tell our kids that money doesn't grow on trees. They just think it comes out of the wall. This is the world according to parents. How many times have we said, bring me the change. Call me when you get there. I hope I'm alive when your kids turn 16. Stop whining and eat it. Nobody lives forever. If you break your leg, don't come running to me. You will have fun. And do it to make your mother happy. Haven't we all said that? Every time I think about exercise, I lie down till the thought goes away. You know, the easiest way to get a healthy body is to marry one. You are only what you eat, so I eat only rich food. Eat well, stay fit, and die anyway. Because no matter how much oat bran you eat, or how much you ride your bike, or how much you whatever, we are all good. The Bible says that it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, so we are going to die. I mean, this thing is going to fade. This old tent is going to go. The other day, I heard a song on the radio. I was driving along, and the song was called Buried Alive. Buried Alive. That's not a good name. But anyway, the song goes, when they drop these bones down in the ground, I'll be living on the other side. And I just got a little excited here. I was just driving along. I thought, wow, that's true. So what if we're all going to, tent's going to fade. They're going to drop these bones down in the ground. I was on my way to a funeral, by the way, when this happened. And I got there all excited thinking, wow, when they drop these bones, drop that casket in the ground, he'll be living on the other side. He's a Christian. He's going to be dancing and rejoicing and living. And I went to this funeral all excited, thinking, I can hardly wait to tell the people how wonderful. But anyway, try to be sad a little bit for the sake of the people. Men, you can't live with them and you can't shoot them. You know why Moses wandered for 40 years in the wilderness? Because he wouldn't stop and ask for directions. One of the chapters that I wanted to have for a new book, which I'm not sure I'm going to get, and this is the chapter, I think it'll be great. Grow your own dope, plant a man. It's difficult after a hard day on the job to come home to a crying, demanding little boy, but that's the price a woman pays for having a husband. You're only young once, but you can be immature forever. Okay, now one out of every four people in this country is mentally unbalanced. Now you think of your three closest friends. If they seem okay, then you're the one. Wrinkles are God's way of saying, I'm stepping on your face. Now, this is better. God made wrinkles to show where smiles have been. That's better, but I like this one, too. You know why it's not necessary for a man to have his face lifted? If he's patient, it'll grow right up through his hair. I've got a friend who's only 50 years old, but she tells people she's 60 because she looks great for 60 and awful for 50. Recently, I heard about a man who said that when he was young, he always used Head and Shoulders, and now that he's older, he uses Mop and Glow. I did a program at NBC over in Los Angeles a while back, and there was a big sign on the makeup mirror. And what did this guy put you to? He's got pictures of Ann Sheridan, Linda Darnell, all these famous people, and then you're looking at yourself. And the sign says, if you want makeup, ask me. But if you want miracles, ask God. Some people, no matter how old they get, never lose their beauty. They merely move it from their faces into their hearts. Isn't that true? I like that one. Middle age is like underwear. It just creeps up on you. See, inside every old person, there's a young person wondering what happened. And you know you're getting old when you bend over to tie your shoelaces and you wonder what else you can do while you're down there. I got my Medicare card recently, which is kind of a shock. They just send it to you. They don't even ask for it. They just send you this card. The whole world knows how old you are. But I'm the same age as Shirley Temple, Mickey Mouse, Florence Littauer, Irma Bombeck, somebody else who's important. I forget. We're all in the egg together, you know. So at least I'm in with some important people. They're all turning the same age as I am. So wherever I go, there I am. See, there's no way that you can get out of your problems. No matter, you go to Hawaii, some people say, oh, if I could just go to Bermuda, go to Hawaii, get away from these problems. Well, you go there, you got the same problems. It hasn't changed any. There's so many places that you can find joy, not just in bumper stickers, but things that happen in your life. A while back, I was invited to go to one of the prisons in our area, a high-security prison, real high-security, like the Manson-type people will go in there. And the chaplain called and said, the Lord told her I should come. I said, well, he hadn't told me. And I wasn't really too hot about going there. And she said, well, the Lord really thinks you should, twice she said, the Lord really thinks you should be able to come here. Well, you know, she's more spiritual than I am, so maybe I should go. So after I said, okay, I will go, then she told me, well, now, she said, this is, you have to have a body check. What is that? I don't think that sounds too good. But you have to have a body check. And you can't bring anything with you, none of your signs, none of your props or anything. And we did have a riot about 3 weeks ago. Oh, that's real terrific. And then she said, the first 30 rows will be light blue, and they won't hurt you or anything. There'll be a guard on the end of each of the rows. Oh, good. With a gun. And the next 30 rows are medium blue, and they're a little bit more dangerous, but there'll be a guard on the end with a gun. The last 30 rows are the Manson type, the Susan, whatever her name is, you know, the Manson people. And that's the high security, and they will be way in the back, and there'll be a guard in the end. They'll come up from their cells, and, you know, they won't bother you. And then when she said they had a riot about 3 weeks ago, I was all primed to go in there. She said, now, just pretend there's a glass case here, so don't give people your hug coupons. Don't give them your sparkles or splashes. Don't do anything to communicate with these girls. I mean, they're high risk, and I'm high risk. And she said, just be sure that you don't do anything to make them respond to you in any way. Well, and she wants me to tell my story. So anyway, I went up there really nervous, you know. I thought, well, I never come back to this place again. I sure got rooked into this. So I started out telling my story and thinking, I don't want to respond. Don't make them respond. I kept thinking that. So I said that one line that I sometimes say about, having a child is like getting a life sentence in prison with no hope of parole. Oh, what a dumb thing to say. But I said it before I realized I said it. And then they started clapping and clapping, and she looked at me like, it wasn't good. You know? So I thought, well, I got to keep going. I mean, I'm not halfway through yet. And so I kept going, and I thought, oh, this is just awful. I mean, I'm doing it badly. I shouldn't have said that. And then I got farther down, and I was going to say, I was going to talk about a little parody of all the soap operas that I had made up. And so I said, how many of you women watch soap operas? I shouldn't have said that, because they all shot their hand out. They all watch soap operas. There's nothing to do in prison but watch soap operas. And she looked at me again like, And then I said, well, you know, when I go out and speak to church groups and stuff, I ask them and nobody will admit it, but you girls are so honest. That's why you're in here. And she looked at me and said, oh, because they were just clapping and they just loved that, you know. And so I thought, well, I've got to keep going. So then I thought, oh, if I ever get out of here without getting killed, you know. And so then I said, well, I put some thing together about some soap operas, and then I wanted to whistle through it real quick, you know. As the world turns, being one of the young and the restless, I spent the days of our lives in a search for tomorrow that brought me to the edge of night. Well, they're all clapping and clapping. Oh, my. Okay, I was headed for another world after winding up in General Hospital and being cared for by the doctors. Jesus Christ, the guiding light, broke through my secret storm, and lovingly he said, I have rescued you from Falcon Crest. Now share in my dynasty, be one of all my children, and I will give you one life to live. Well, when I finished, they were clapping, stamping their feet, and I looked at her again, you know, get them out of here quick, you know. So they stood up, and she gave a quick benediction, and I had to come forward to the podium where I was standing to get out, and then there was guards there to take them to their cells and all. And as they got to the front of the podium, they had signaled somehow how they do it in prison, which I don't know their system, and I don't want to learn. But they got to the front, and they all blew me a kiss. They had passed the word around through everybody somehow. And here all these tough, hardened women came, and in front of me, they blew me a kiss, and then they went out. And I just stood there thinking, who would expect to get blessed at going to the security prison? I mean, I was more blessed there than anything. I think all these girls, they knew I was nervous. They knew that I had bummed it up very badly. Couldn't do worse. And yet they all wanted to blow me a kiss. And so then they went out, and I left a lot of books with a girl and tapes so she could give them to the people. The next day, this chaplain called me, and she said, Barbara, the girls were lined up at 6 o'clock to get your books and your tapes and stuff. And she said, we've had people here that really know what they're doing, like Chuck Colson and Mother Teresa and people that really are familiar with prison reform. And she says, we've never gotten the response that we got. In other words, your bungling way was so bad. Never got the response that we have from you. Well, that's wonderful. I don't want to go back again. I had been back twice since, but I said I was never going back, but see, I don't mean what I say. But anyway, I got acquainted with some of those girls. They threw the mail, and several of them got released. Some of them came to my house to visit, and somehow I lost a lot of my stuff. I just realized that I had a lot that isn't here lately. But anyway, and so you never know where God is going to bring the splashes of joy into your life, whether it be at prison or wherever it be. And you have to learn to think on things that are good and pure and lovely, like I was talking to you about last night, how important it is to learn to do that and look for the humor and look for the joy in life, because it's all around you. When I go to the post office in the town where I live, La Habra, they had this wonderful kind of cement. It's sparkles when the sun hits it. I like to go in the morning when the sun hits it, and I think of all the transient diamonds in my life, all the people that bless me, and all the places. Now, my husband, he doesn't care when he goes to the post office. It doesn't bother him any. He can go in the morning, doesn't even see the diamonds. He can go in the afternoon, there's no diamonds in the afternoon, just when the sun hits this cement. And so I've learned to look for the places. Maybe because I live with such a joy robber, I've had to look so hard. To find the places where you can find the joy that's available to all of us. And I just think of so many times, places where I have been able to find things that were just exciting and happy. Our car broke down in San Diego recently. We had to drive from San Diego to L.A., 100 miles, and my car was on the back of this tow truck. I'd never been in a tow truck before. I mean, I'm 65 and probably never be in one again, but I'd never been in one, so I thought it was a real experience. Here we're up on top of this tow truck, and my car's on the back, and this guy had hair out to here that was driving it. That was exciting. Just look at his hair. And then as we're going along, it's $1 a mile, and my husband was very, very familiar. He's very tight. It was going to be $100 to get the hair. And he sat there figuring $1 a mile, $100, and he's so unhappy about it. And I'm just driving, looking at all the twinkling lights in Santa Ana Freeway, seeing all the things. It was just fun. And he wasn't happy at all. And finally, I said, well, Bill, just think of all the gas we're saving. Now, see, we look at things differently. And I have had to learn, maybe because I live with him and he's a very negative person, that I have had to look for the other places in life. Sometime back, we drive our, we both have bicycles, which we don't use much, but we drive down to the corner donut shop to get donuts on our bike. So a while back, we went down to the donut shop, and I had a $20 bill. He didn't even have his wallet with him, so we went in to order the maple bars and the coffee, and I ordered it, and he went and sat down, and the girl was getting our stuff, and I gave her the $20, and she came back, and she said, you know, that'll be $3.50. I said, I already gave you $20. And the lady next to me said, yeah, I saw you give her the $20. So I didn't have any more money. She said, well, I don't have it. And I said, well, you check the cash register because I gave it to you. And she didn't have it. And I said, well, you better call the manager then because, I mean, I don't have any money, and that's all I had. And Bill's sitting over there eating his donuts, you know, and I'm standing there arguing with her about the $20. And the manager came out, and he didn't speak English, and my Spanish is very bad. So I kept saying, I gave you $20. I should have some money back. So anyway, they said, no, they didn't have the money. Well, what am I going to do? Here we are, Bill's already eating the donuts, you know. And I went and told them that something happened, that they don't have the money. What do you mean you don't have the money? You gave them $20. Well, I don't know, but they don't have it. And so I said, we can't get out of here. I mean, they could call the police and say that we stole their donuts. So we just stole their donuts. You made $20 for those donuts. So anyway, we got out. We got on the bikes, and we're riding home where we live. And this is before we got to the entrance. I said, remember a few years ago in front of our church, I found a $20 bill. Well, he didn't remember that. But I did. And I said, so if you look at it this way, that $20 that we lost today is like the same $20 that I found before. So we really got the donuts and coffee for free, see? I mean, that's the way I look at it. And so I was real happy. He wanted me to go in and call the donut shop in Los Angeles and tell them they stole our money and everything and get me all upset about it. I said, well, I'm not going to do that because the way I look at it, we got free donuts and coffee, so there's no problem. I'm not going to call anybody. And he didn't like that, and he didn't even like the shape of donuts. He doesn't want to go to the donut place. And he, several days, groused around about they stole his money. He thinks that when he looks at that yum yum donuts that they're all crooks. Well, see, I don't. I mean, my way of looking at it is so much easier because I just erased that and said, forget it. I like their donuts, and it doesn't bother me, and I look at it in a different attitude. So maybe because I've had a husband who is negative, he makes you bring out, it looks so hard to find joy because you have someone that is negative. So anyway, I like yum yum donuts, as you can tell, and I still go down there to ride my bike, and I have no problem, but I go alone now because he doesn't like them. Some people like to harbor all these pain they have and they just cherish it, sort of. I don't have time for that. I mean, I got too many things to do to sit and worry about the yum yum donut people. If God can handle eternity, I can surely handle today. Isn't that the truth? He only gives us grace for each day. He's our light. He is our lighthouse. We have the Word of God. We have so much in our life that God gives us to give us wisdom and to give us direction. I want you to think about this. Think of a ship at night with its light blinking. It sees another light in the distance and also sees that a collision is inevitable. It sends out an emergency message that says, emergency, collision inevitable. Change your course 10 degrees to the south. And the answer comes back from the light in the distance, emergency, collision inevitable. Change your course 10 degrees to the north. And the captain of that ship gets a bit hot under the collar, and he sends back the message, emergency, collision inevitable, change your course 10 degrees to the south. I am a captain. And the answer comes back from the light in the distance, emergency, collision inevitable, change your course 10 degrees to the north. I am a third-class seaman. And the captain of that ship is so furious, he sends back a message, and it says, emergency, collision inevitable, change your course 10 degrees to the south. I am a battleship. And the answer comes back from the light in the distance, emergency, collision inevitable, change your course 10 degrees to the north. I am the lighthouse. We do have a lighthouse, the Word of God. We don't have to be like a little ship out there on the big ocean because God does care. Nothing has come into your life that God doesn't know about. There's no surprise. God never had to say, oops. He never has to say, oops, shouldn't have done that. Too much for her. Because whatever's come has come through his filter. And we do have the lighthouse, the Word of God. I'm really not in good enough shape right now. I'm really not in good enough shape to get in shape right now. How's that? I saw this on a car the other day. I haven't had a chance to get it put on here, but it says, I am fat and you are ugly, but I can go on a diet. Women don't have hot flashes anymore. They have power surges. A lady wrote to me this, and she said, lighten up, toots, thickening midriff, droopy eyelids, and pesky chin hairs are only the beginning of the many wondrous surprises that will ambush you on the dusty old trail to maturity. Now, you're not laughing much. That's not too funny. 60 years old, the metallic age, silver hair, gold teeth, and a lead bottom. It's kind of a shame that just when you learn how to make the best of life, the best is mostly gone. How can I be over the hill when I never even got to the top? Someone sent me this thing about money. I don't know what it was. She said I talked about money. I probably said that money isn't necessary to make you happy, but it's right up there with oxygen and water. Happiness cannot be found in money. Rather, we should look in the trickle of a clear brook, the quiet of a lake, the majestic beauty of the mountains, and of course that means choice real estate, and that means money. Just when your kids are fit to live with, they're living with someone else. A friend of mine had several kids, and they all had big problems. One was on drugs, one was gay, one was living with a girl and wasn't married. And she said, "Barb, I shouldn't have had kids. I should have had rabbits. That way I'd have gotten one good meal on the deal." There was the mother of three notoriously unruly youngsters, and someone asked her if she'd had children if she had it to do over again. She said, "Oh, yeah, but not the same ones." Someday, I'll look back at all this and laugh. See, we're Easter people, and we're living in a Good Friday world. We are living in a broken world. There's sin all around us. There's abscesses all around us. You wouldn't know from looking at all of your pretty faces that there are, but behind your smile, I know you have areas of your life where if you haven't had an abscess, you're going to be having one because they just happen. And almost every woman who reaches maturity has been through more than one. If you could open up and drain it and talk to somebody, because we know that openness is to wholeness, the secrets are to sickness. I've talked to several of you individually, and I know you're going through really hard times. And that's when it's wonderful to have a Christian friend that you can talk to. And one day, you'll look back at all this and laugh. If I had known several years ago when I first, before I had our four traumas, that I was going to go through what I was, I'd say, forget it, just take me right now. I don't even want to live any longer. But you see, I got through each one with God's grace, and now I've got my credentials. So when I stand up here and talk, you have to listen to me, because I've been in the valley, I've been in the pits, I've been down there where I wanted to die, I've been down there where I just felt I was all alone, and yet I came through this, and God's given me such an injection of joy that I want to share to tell you, you can make it, you can make it. The other day I was in a doctor's office, and I was sitting on that cold thing waiting for him to come in, and I heard him talking out there. He's kind of tall and kind of, I don't know, he's, of course he could be my son. I think about that, then it's not so good, but anyway. I heard him talk to this lady who was evidently calling because she had high blood pressure, and I heard him say, "Well, don't keep taking it so often. Don't take it so often." And then she was talking. And then when he closed up talking to her, he said, "You'll be fine. You'll be fine." He says, "You'll be fine." So then I heard another person talking to him on the telephone while I'm sitting on this cold metal thing. And at the end of the conversation, he says, "You'll be fine. You'll be fine." And then when he came in and said, "How are you?" I said, "Well, it doesn't matter because I'll be fine. I'll be fine." This nice presence he had of instilling confidence that they would be fine. And then I said, "Well, I'll be fine, so why am I even here for? Because I'll be fine." And then he said, "No, there's a difference. Those people will be fine, but you will be just fine." Oh, that's good. I'll be just fine, whatever that is. But I never would have thought I'd been able to laugh at some of the things that I've been able to find joy in. And someday you'll get to the point when you get through your thing and you will be just fine. Those who know Jesus can smile at the future. As you're a Christian, what a wonderful future we have. These are two or three little sayings that I have found helpful because I deal with many parents whose kids have died of AIDS or suicide in our ministry. Our ministry is called Spatula Ministries. We pull parents off the ceiling. It's a nonprofit, very nonprofit, nonprofit tax-exempt ministry to help parents. And I go to a lot of funerals because we're connected with so many. And I have used two or three things lately, and I think they might be helpful to you if you've lost a loved one. Death is not extinguishing the light. It is putting out the lamp because the dawn has come. And then death is God's way of saying, your table is ready. I like that. And then engraved on the headstone of a beloved son were these words, he is not gone, he's just gone on ahead. So if you've lost a loved one, think of it that way. He's not gone. He may be gone from you, but he's gone on ahead. And that's encouraging to me because we've had deposits in heaven. I have a friend that works at a mortuary. A lot of my friends work at mortuaries. And he has a sign on his desk, kind of underneath so nobody will see it. He doesn't want to have the people see it. But it says, any day above ground is a good day. That's not the kind you show to the people that are dying. I got this car for my wife. What a trade. One man lately told me that his wife was so slow it took her 2 hours to watch 60 minutes. Money talks, but all mine says is goodbye. You know, I have enough money to last me the rest of my life unless I buy something. is what you get when you didn't get what you wanted. Yesterday's experience, tomorrow is hope, but today is getting from one to the other the best that you can. I had another little one, which somebody stole because it's not here. And it was, I used to be Snow White, but I drifted. Yeah, that's probably one of those prison girls took that one. They didn't steal it. I probably said, you're welcome to it, and they really took me up on it. I'm not going to worry unless the animals start lining up two by two for the next space shuttle. See, my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, but he started a building program and just got out of hand, you know? Somebody wrote me a letter lately, and they signed it, Awaiting His Shout. Isn't that exciting? I got excited. See, I get excited over little things, but I thought, what, Awaiting His Shout, that's wonderful. And then recently I got a letter this week, and it said, the end of it was, until he comes or until I go. Well, that's real good, too, you know, until he comes after us or until we go to meet him. So either way, we're winners here. It doesn't matter which way. I hope the Lord comes first. Help me to remember, Lord, that nothing will happen today that you and I can't handle together. See, if you get that in your mind, that nothing's going to happen to you, that you don't have to handle alone. God is always there. He's there to wrap in his comfort blanket and remind you about that. And he never has to say, oops. There's a sign in the bulletin board, and it said, lost, dog with three legs, blind in left eye, missing right ear, tail broken and recently castrated, answers to the name of Lucky. Now, sometime back, a lady said to me, oh, Barbara, you're just so lucky. I mean, you get to travel around the country and meet people and you speak, and you're just so lucky. And I got to thinking, lucky. One out of every 500,000 families lost a child in Vietnam, and we had that. One out of every 800 families loses a child with a drunk driver, and we had that. One out of every 25 families has someone into homosexuality, and we know about that. And then in women over the age of 40, one out of every 25 will develop diabetes. And recently I learned about that. I've never been sick, never had surgery, never had a headache, never had a toothache. I don't even take any pills or anything. And I went to the doctor just for a flu shot a while back, and he said, well, since you're here, since you never come, let's run some tests. Oh, I don't need any. I just feel great. So he ran some tests. And he called me in a couple of days, and he said, you come in and see me, you have a problem. I have a problem? Well, I have a problem. So I went in to see him, and he said, yes, you have adult onset diabetes. Well, how did I have that? I mean, how could I get that? He said, well, you've got that, and he says, it's very serious, and if you don't do what you're supposed to do, you have to change your lifestyle, you have to do this, you cut out all the food, avoid stress, and he told me all these things I have to do, and on top of that, he said, you'll have to go to a support group. Go to a support, I am a support group. Me go to a support group? He said, yes, you'll have to go to the St. Jude Hospital for at least 2 times, you have to go and meet at the support group of these diabetics, and I said, well, I don't have time to go to that. I got things to do. He said, that's exactly why you have to go, because you won't pay attention to me. And this can be a very serious disease, life-threatening disease. You could lose your eyes. He told me all things I could lose. And I said, well, then, okay, I'll go. So I went the first night and sat around this group. And it was awful. The people had terrible things. And one lady was blind, and one man had his leg cut off, and another man was impotent. Well, whatever he had, it didn't work anyway. They all had things, terrible things wrong with them. And as it went around the group, I didn't have to talk the first night because I was a guest. But they were all so depressing. So I went back to the doctor. I said, well, I went to your dumb meeting. It was awful. I mean, they have terrible things wrong. I mean, those things. And I said, if I have to go one more time, then I have to talk. You have to tell me something good because I don't want to sit and hear all that stuff and if I can't say something good. And he read my books, and he knows how I feel about Philippians 4:8. So he said, well, having diabetes is like having the worst relative that you know come and live with you the rest of your life. Well, I don't have any bad relatives left. They're all gone. No, I don't have any bad relatives anyway, but my relatives are mostly gone. And he said, it's like having carpenter ants in your body, and you never know whether they're going to attack your kidneys, your brain, or your eye. Oh, that's terrific. Well, I want to say something good if I have to go to this group. I can't say that. And he said, well, I'll tell you one thing, and you'll think it's good. You'll never go in a rest home because diabetics don't live that long. Oh, that's cheerful. I like that. Who wants to go in a rest home? You ever been in one? They're terrible. And so I thought that was pretty good. He said, well, I thought you'd think it was good. So I went to the meeting and the same problem. The same people had no leg grew out or anything. They had the same problem they had the month before. Man had his same problem. And so when it got around to me, I was the last one to talk. And I said, well, I'm not coming again, so I'll tell you everything I know at one time, you know, because I ain't coming here again. And so then I said, the doctor told me I had diabetes. But he said, some good news. I got the best news from him this week. They all kind of brightened up. I hadn't heard any good news ever there. And I said, he told me, almost promised me that I'm never going to rest home because diabetics don't live that long. Wow, yeah. And then I went and I said, but you know, death holds no pain for me because I have not seen, ear has not heard, but God has prepared for them that love him. And my exit here will be my grandest entrance there. And I went in and shared how excited I was. And that was about the time that I had heard this song about when they drop these bones down on the ground and all that. And so I told him that. I told him everything I could think about how exciting it is, how the future for a Christian is so wonderful. And it just gave my whole little thing. Well, when I got done, I had to leave to go to my own support group that night, so I left. And the next day, this lady who was in charge of the group at the hospital, she called and she said, Barbara, they want you to come back and join their group. Help us. And I said, she says, it's the first time anybody ever said anything happy in there, and they've never laughed before. I said, well, that's good. That will help them, but I don't want to join their group. I'll give them all a book and everything, and they can have my book, but I don't want to become a member of that kind of a group. But, you know, I wouldn't think at my age, I've had enough problems, and you already know that, that would have to go with this. But how are you going to face it? You have to change your lifestyle. It's not easy when you get older to change your lifestyle. Give up all the foods that you love to cook, and you finally learn to fix everything you like, and then you can't eat that. And you're invited to go out with all these people and eat, because they're Christians. That's all they do is get together and eat. You can't do that. And you got to ride a bike or walk or jog or do some of these boring things. You got to change your mind. That's not boring. It's wonderful. It isn't wonderful. And so, yes, a whole lot of changes. So you have to be flexible. You don't want to get hardening of the attitude, you know. And so you have to learn to change your whole life. If you want to live a while, then you begin to wonder, was it really worth it or not, you know. But anyway, God has been so good to me in so many ways. But there's never a time when you've got it all together. I mean, if you think you do, you're wrong, because you don't. There's going to be something happen. Your husband, if you have a husband, he'll have problems, or you'll have problems. If it's not your health, it'll be your economy, it'll be your kids. So you might as well realize you've got today to serve the Lord. It's a happy, wonderful new day. You haven't even messed it up yet, a whole day. Tomorrow may be different. Yesterday's a canceled check. Tomorrow's a promissory note. But you've got today to serve the Lord, because we don't know what the future holds. None of us do. And so you might as well be happy for today. And then pretty soon you have several happy days. And by the end of the week, you've had a whole week. You've been happy, and you've laughed, and you've enjoyed it. But don't wait for happiness to come to you. You have to go out and look for these little diamonds, little splashes of joy, where there are things that you can be happy about. Sometime back, we were in somewhere in Pennsylvania. Well, you don't really care where I was. Why do people think that you care where I was? I know you don't. But anyway, I was in Pennsylvania, and it was a community of Dutch people that wear the little hats, Mennonite sort of people, you know. And so the name of the thing I was speaking for was called the Area-Wide Women's Seminar. Well, when we got there, these people all didn't speak English, and whoever the man was that made the little placards that go on the cars, they put on all the cars, it said, Wide Women's Area Seminar. And he put that on with that kind of context meant like a Mammoth Cave, Kentucky or whatever. And it was 600 cars, and he had put them all on. Wide Women's Area Seminar. Well, I just thought that was so funny. I could hardly speak because I just... And even now, I think of all the people driving around in Pennsylvania in the back of their cars said, Wide Women's Area Seminar, because you can't get that stuff off, you know. But I thought it was real funny. They didn't think it was funny. My husband didn't think it was funny at all, but I thought it was funny. So we all find joy in different things. I don't know the answers, but I know someone that does. See, God knows the reasons. God knows the answers. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, the secret things belong to the Lord, and he's going to know what's happening in your life, and he's going to give you the strength to get through. This is another one that somebody was missing. I was going to have this for a chapter of the book. Some days you're the pigeon, some days you're the statue. You have to think about that one a little bit. If you love something, set it free. If it doesn't come back, then hunt it down and kill it. Avenge yourself. Live long enough to be a problem to your children. The best way to keep children at home is to create a pleasant atmosphere and let the air out of their tires. Joy isn't the absence of sorrow, but it's the presence of God. See, I want you to go out of here this week and having joy, that beautiful bubbling up joy of the Holy Spirit. You may not be happy because things may happen in your life that cause you to not be happy. But that deep, bubbling joy of the Holy Spirit can be there no matter what you're going through. It's like a river running right through your heart. And the purpose of my being here is to encourage you. And the word encourage means to fill the heart. So we want to fill your heart today. You've laughed a lot, and that's good. That's healing. That's therapeutic. You've been able to say the verse in Job 8:21, He will fill your mouth with laughter and your lips with shouts of joy. Blessed are the smile makers. See, you don't stop laughing because you grow old, but you grow old because you stop laughing. Blessed are those who are flexible, for they shall not break. The important thing to remember about exercise is to start slowly and then gradually taper off. We found a new diet that really is successful. It's fabulous. And this is how it works. Anything that you put in your mouth, if it tastes good, just spit it out. When you're down and out, lift up your head and shout, I'm down and out. We think sometimes that as Christians, we're just always supposed to be happy and bubbly. And, oh, just praise the Lord, it's also wonderful to suffer. It ain't wonderful to suffer. It's awful to suffer. But the iron crown of suffering precedes the golden crown of glory. And if you're going through a time of suffering and you're in the furnace of suffering, you can say, I'm not going to be here forever. I'm going to get through this. God's going to be with me. But it's all right to say, I'm really hurting now. I'm really hurting. I'm going through a death. I'm going through a loss. I've got cancer, diabetes, whatever. And I'm really hurting, but it isn't going to last forever. You won't last forever either. And then you can ask somebody who you love and care about and tell them and open up and ventilate some of your problems. It's all right. We don't always have to be happy little plastic Christians to say, oh, we're just so wonderful, because most of us aren't wonderful. We can say that we're hurting now, but it's going to pass, and God's going to come and give us the victory for whatever it is. And things will change and be better. But somehow we have the idea that we're never supposed to admit that we're suffering. And that's a fallacy, as we sure are. Life is uncertain. Eat dessert first. I had another one, and Dr. Dobson took us. So I was up there spreading out myself, and he liked that. Well, you can have it. It says, he loves this. Eat a live toad first thing in the morning, and nothing worse can happen to you the rest of the day. There's a new book out by Dave Barry, and the title is not so funny. The title is just Babies and Other Hazards of Sex. But the subtitle is good. Listen, it says, How to Make a Tiny Person in 9 Months with Tools You Probably Have Around the House. I'd like to take you with me, because she laughs so good. Just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not out to get you. And you know how you can tell if you're codependent? When you're dying, you see someone else's life pass before your eyes. Of all the things I lost, it's my mind I miss the most. I have a photographic memory. Unfortunately, it no longer gives same-day service. My mind works like lightning. One brilliant flash, and then it's gone. And then my memory is excellent. There are 3 things I can't remember. I can't remember faces, and I can't remember names, and now I've forgotten the 3rd thing. Live as though Christ died yesterday, rose today, and is coming tomorrow. See, if we can live in that expectant, excited time that Christ is coming tomorrow. I believe in rapture practice. Go in the backyard, jump up and down, practice for the rapture. I told this lately, and some lady came up and she said, Miss Johnson, when you do your rapture practice, do you do it on a trampoline or on the grass? It's just the idea that you're living that excited time where we know the Lord's going to come back for us. I mean, this isn't it, what we're living in. This is going to pass. I don't want these people to say name it and claim it. Who wants it? I don't want it. Take your broken dreams to Jesus. See, we're all going to have broken dreams. We're all going to have areas of our life. He's the only one that can heal the broken places in our life. As children bring their broken toys with tears for us to mend, I brought my broken dreams to God because he was my friend. But then instead of leaving him in peace to work alone, I hung around and tried to help with ways that were my own. At last, I snatched them back and cried, How could you be so slow? My child, he said, What could I do? You never did let go. salvation. Don't leave earth without it. Isn't that neat? Longfellow could take a sheet of paper and write a poem on it and make it worth $60,000. That is talent. Rockefeller could sign a piece of paper to make it worth millions, and that is capital. A mechanic can take material worth $5 and turn it into an article worth $50, and that is skill. But God can take a worthless, sinful life, wash it, cleanse it, put his Holy Spirit within it, and make it a blessing to all humanity, and that is salvation. What can be whiter than the snow and deeper than the sea? My sins can be made whiter than the snow, and his love is far deeper than the sea. When God measures a person, a tape is put around the heart instead of the head. Isn't it good to know that? I did the Shuler Show a couple of weeks ago, and they insisted that I had to have a microphone hanging on. I've never told this before, so, it's taped. Well, that's all right, you have it. They said you should have worn a two-piece dress because you have to have this thing on the back of this big microphone, and it goes up here, you know, and it tacks here. I didn't know that. And so there was nowhere to tack this big thing in the wiring. So he says, this young fellow said, we have a piece of stuff that sticks together and hangs together, Velcro, and it'll hold up to a 28-inch waist. 28-inch waist, are you kidding? But anyway, he said, you know how men are. No problem at all. We'll just put the Velcro belt on you, and then we'll hang it on the wall. So a 28-inch waist would not be what I needed. But he said, it'll stretch, is what he said. And so I put it on. I felt like I had a rope around me because immediately it flopped over. You know, it was too tight, of course. So it flopped over, but they hung the thing on. So I said, what if this thing comes apart? I'm doing this hour of power, and here I can just see this thing. No, it won't come off, is what he said. So I stood there kind of holding it thinking, gee, I don't want it to come off when I'm being interviewed. So I had this hat with a geranium on it, which was silly looking anyway. And I stood there, and just as I was getting down, I could feel kind of a rip, you know how? Rip. And I quick grabbed it, and I got off the platform, and I got back, and the thing just spread out, you know. So I said, I got to do two more programs with this. I mean, this is ridiculous. I better just have a microphone. Just forget this Velcro thing. No, you have to have the Velcro thing. And so I did the next program, and I got it on, and the same way, I hung onto it, and finally I did the third one. I got through it. I was very careful not to breathe very heavy, because if you breathe, you just blow the whole thing. And I got off, and the thing, of course, shot right off, you know, just came right off. And so I thought, if all the people watching, if they only knew what you go through to do some of these programs, hang onto your stomach so you don't, and you got this rope around your middle because you feel like you're going to come apart. That has something to do with this, but I forget what. Oh. When God measures the person, yeah. I kept thinking, please, Lord, just hold it together. Just till I walk off the platform. Then I don't care what happens. Well, I care, but imagine anybody thinking that I could wear a 26 or 28-inch waist. I mean, there's your jokers, but let's see. I wanted to share this prayer with you, which I think is cute. May those who love us, and those who don't, may God turn their hearts. And if he doesn't turn their hearts, may he turn their ankles so that we'll know them by their limping. The heart is like a treasure chest that's filled with souvenirs. It's where we keep the memories we gather through the years. How important it is, especially for you young women, to make memories in your home. Make things that are memories and preserve the memories, because when you get old, you forget them anyway, or you lose them. The head thinks, the hands labor, but it's the heart that laughs. I was at a church in Houston. I was telling you about the importance of making memories about a year ago, how important it is to make memories for your family. And the next day, I was back at the same church, and this darling young mother came up, and she said, when you were here last time talking about making memories, I just got so carried away that I went home. We bought a VCR. We bought all these kind of equipment so we could make memories and pictures, and got a new camera. And she said, we decided to make memories, and I put all of our snapshots and books, and we were going to make memories. We took picnics, and we did pictures. We did everything, because I just went crazy about making memories after I heard your talk. And so then she said, I want to tell you something happened the other day with our little boy. He was about 7. And she said, he came home from school in the afternoon. He says, I don't have anything to do. I'm going to watch television. I'm going to go cartwheeling, and I'm going to skateboarding, and I mean, he did all afternoon. He did all these things, and then he had dinner, and then he went up to bed. And so she and her husband were going to bed that night around 11 o'clock. They were watching the Carson program, Leno program. And she said, all of a sudden we looked at the top of the stairs, and here's this little kid standing there in his pajamas. And he said, I just remembered 11 o'clock at night. He said, I just remembered I have to make a salt map of Venezuela for tomorrow. Well, it wasn't the father's problem. He went up to bed. I mean, you don't see many men up at 11 o'clock making a salt map of Venezuela. So he went to bed. And the mother, here she was so upset with Eckett. All afternoon he had skateboarded and fooled around and done nothing, watched TV, and here she's up at 11 o'clock looking for Venezuela, out in the garage looking for a cardboard, looking for the salt. You know how it is. We've all done it. And she was so mad at that kid, what she's doing, and she looked over at him and he said, "Mom, are we making a memory now?" Nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ our Lord. Romans 8:39. That's my favorite verse. Nothing can separate us from God's love. There is nothing, no circumstance, no testing that can ever touch me until, first of all, it has gone past God and past Christ right through to me. If it has come that far, it has come with a great purpose, which I may not understand at the moment. But as I refuse to become panicky, I lift up my eyes to Him and accept it as coming from the throne of God for some great purpose of blessing to my own heart. No trial will ever disarm me. No circumstances will cause me to fret, for I shall rest in the joy of what the Lord is. And that is the rest of victory. When you can say that prayer of relinquishment, whatever, Lord, whatever comes into your life has come through His filter, that relieves you of this constant anxiety and constant fear of what's going to happen, what are you going to do? Just say like Job said, though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him. And that's been the answer for me. Learn to say, whatever, Lord, instead of why me? Why did I lose 2 sons? Why did my 3rd son disappear? Why? And when I quit saying why me, and I just said, you know, whatever, Lord, sort of laying flat on the tracks, whatever, Lord, then you're able to cope with whatever comes into your life because you know it's come through His filter. Sometime back I did a program in Chicago. It was a 2-hour talk show and people call in. You never know who's going to call in. You answer all these questions which you don't know anyway. Try to make sense out of it. And so after 2 hours, I could see I only had 3 minutes left. Oh, wow. Get off this program, that'd be great, you know. And then I heard this host saying, it's a television show, I heard him saying, now Barbara has something she wants to say to encourage all of you 8 million people that are watching. And Barbara, I was the only one up there, you know. And he looked at me and smiled like I was supposed to say something. I'd already said everything. I showed my cards and I didn't have anything to say. And he keeps smiling and the camera was on me and I said, oh, I couldn't think of my name. I couldn't think of John 3:16. I mean, you got all these million people watching and I'm supposed to say something encouraging? And I had one sign that I hadn't used because it wasn't appropriate, so I hadn't used it. And I said, well, there's one thing I want to say to encourage all you millions of people out there, and this is it. Life is hard, and then you die. And he looked at me kind of strange. And I said, but see, to me, life is hard, but this isn't it. This isn't it. We're going to be out of here. My little granddaughter said, you should say, life is hard, and then you get to die. And that's a wonderful, because this is just a transient time for us, and it's not going to be, and as a Christian, we have an endless hope, not a hopeless end. And there was an epithet on Mel Blanc, who was the voice of Porky Pig, and the epithet said, that's all, folks. But see, that isn't it for Christians. This is only the beginning. And we get to heaven, this is only the beginning of eternity. And so I was really excited, thinking, wow, life is hard, but we're not going to be here. Well, I got off the program, and he looked at me like, oh, how'd you think of that? And then the lights were all lit up with people wanting to talk to the lady that thinks it's so wonderful to die. Not that it's so wonderful to die, but that's the only way out of here unless He comes for us. And so it's the expectancy of knowing that whatever we're going through now is only temporary, it's not going to last, and we have all the future ahead. It's like we're living in a parenthesis. And someday God can kick out the end of that parenthesis, and we're going to be with Him forever. And how exciting as a Christian to know that we have that endless hope, not a hopeless end. When I see other people going through problems that don't know the Lord and don't have that confidence that we have, I don't know how they make it. I mean, it's hard enough if you have the Lord. You know, it's not easy. But if you don't have that victory and you don't have that, then people are really void and their life can be so lonely. You're a good audience. You laughed a lot today. I think you probably burned up a lot of calories from laughing. Let's pray a minute. Our Father, we're thankful for these women that came here today. We just pray that the laughter has encouraged their hearts, has filled their hearts and lifted them up. They're able to cope with some of the areas of their own life where they're having special struggles and special needs. We just pray that Your blessing would be on the remainder of this conference and not on the speakers and also on all those that are here that have brought others that need to be lifted and that need that encouragement, that we could instill them with some of the joy and the hope that You've given us. Bless the rest of the day and as they go to their next session, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.